created time, and then he created the earth. And this happened before he ever made man. God knew who would receive Christ and who wouldn't. He didn't dictate it. It wasn't something that you couldn't have a choice in. God meant for you to have a choice. And so I guess he could have done it another way, but the way he did it was, he put the seed covenant of God. He started that before the foundation of the world. When you talk about the seed, you're talking about Christ who came in a manger in Bethlehem. And all this was planned before the foundation of the world. And the first time it was revealed to man was in a figure, a picture, a type in the first chapter of Genesis. So this is a very practical aspect of it, because if I were to sit down and start teaching from all the things that we've learned and just tell them, you know, how there were three offices of God and started over there in the first chapter of Genesis, normal people would have a hard time understanding it, because, it took a long time for us to understand it. But this is just a simple outline of the seed covenant of God. And you can see over here on the right, the seed went from Adam through Seth, through Enoch, through Noah, through Shem, through Abraham, through Isaac, through Jacob, through Judah, through David, through Zerubbabel, through Heli, through Mary. Mary's genealogy is listed in the second chapter or the fourth chapter of Matthew. And this is her genealogy. And that's why it said the seed of the woman, because the seed of the woman came down through Adam. Now, this was introduced in the Garden of Eden. I'm not going to go back before eternity and go through all the things that you could put in here about God being Jesus. This is just a simple thing that if I were going to teach, I'd do this. And that's what I would try to do if I was coming up here to pastor for the first time and I'd never seen the people before. It was introduced in the Garden of Eden in Genesis 3:15. Now, it's very plain that the woman is Eve, and there was a seed that went down through the line of Mary that came out of Seth, and indeed, it was the woman who bore the Christ child who was the seed of the woman, but he was the seed of God. I'm not going to go back through that again, because I just want you to know this is something that is very easy to follow. And the more you learn, if you learn this, then when it comes time to learn more about Jesus, you'll be better equipped to do it. So I thought I'd start off with this and then work into some things that I believe would be much more enjoyable. But I've been through this many times, but it still thrills me to see how much planning God put into it. Now, it was sanctified through Abraham. It started off with Seth, started off with Adam, and went through Seth. And he says, "And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice." And he's speaking there in Genesis 22:18 to Abraham. "And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, my father, and the God of Isaac. The land wherein thou liest, to thee shall I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the east, to the west, and to the north, to the south. And in thee shall, and in thy seed shall all families of the earth be blessed." And I am a child of Abraham speaking. I'm a child of God, because God, in Genesis, the first chapter, indicated he would create a seed, there would be a redemption, and that he would set us free, and he took his time about it. Why did he take his time about it? Because God knew that it was the right way to do it. You say, well, would you explain to us why God thought that way? I can't. All I can do is tell you that before the foundation of the world, God had already planned to do everything, and He actually knew we would be sitting in this church room, in this church building, I should say. It was announced by John and confirmed by Jesus. You can trace it all the way from Seth, and you can trace it all the way down through Abraham. You can trace it all the way down through Malachi. You can trace it through them all. Some lines ended, some lines broke off, but some lines continued. And God, in those lines, when it says Noah was a man who had faith, Noah was in the line, and Noah was a man of faith. All these were men of faith. When you see Zerubbabel, when you see David down there, Zerubbabel was the great, great, great grandfather of David. And he was the great, great, great grandfather of Mary. So this is something that's really, when you see this and you look at it, you say, wow. You say, wow. And you say, look at that. The first time I ever saw this, I was so excited I just couldn't sit still. And then when I started finding out who Jesus was, it says here a little bit, there a little bit, here a little bit, there a little bit. And pretty soon, those bits all fit together and you say, man, that's a bunch of bits over a 1,500 to 1,600 year period and they all fit together. How did I learn that? I wanted to know. And what did I want to know for? Well, sometimes my motives weren't pure, but I wanted to know what it meant. He says, announced by John and confirmed by Jesus. Now here's where it was announced by John and confirmed by Jesus. Malachi wrote in Malachi 3:1, behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall seek, and whom ye seek, the Messiah, shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, who is this messenger of the covenant? It's Jesus. And it was announced by John the Baptist. He was the messenger who announced it. And the Lord is the messenger of the covenant itself. And he's going to tell you about it. Whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. Okay, he kept his word. He came. You say, well, if God knew they were going to crucify him, why'd he come? Because he had to be just and the justifier of them that believe in him. And God justifies himself. And if he hadn't justified himself, we could have said, that's not right. But nobody can say that's not right when a man allowed his flesh to be completely consumed. And he was, nobody could ever possibly accuse God. And I guarantee you, all the mouths will be shut at the judgment seat. They're going to be shut. Mine's going to be shut. And I don't dare say anything because, Lord, I'm not sure quite how bad off I am. He said, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. Okay. When did he do that? Look down to 70 weeks of years down on the left-hand corner. And Leonard is just, I'll put it this way. I say sometimes he's better than I am at things. But I think we're both pretty good at this.
Well, I'm not a bit better.
Huh?
I'm not a bit better.
Well, well, if he's the chief of sinners, so I guess we're both in the same boat. But anyway, this is, now look down there at that little diagram. If you go back and look all this stuff up and take time, you'll discover exactly when this happened. Behold, I will send my messengers. He shall prepare the way before me. Whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom you delight in. Man, he came to his covenant. He came quickly. And he shall confirm the covenant with Wendy for 1 week. In the midst of the week, now that word missed, you can look it up. And that, I'm glad that we're going through all this in the school and you're looking up all the words in these things, because people say, okay, I know exactly what that means. There are, let's see now. There are 70 weeks of years. Whammo! You put it right in the middle. Now, the word missed means between the third and the fourth year. Any one of those is the midst. So when you look at this little diagram and you say, why is this thing divided? Well, I guarantee you that when you get over here and the 1185 days are finished, it's right between the third and the fourth year. Now, there are not 7 weeks of years left in this thing. We've got 1,335 days left. That's all. And whenever the Antichrist attacks Israel, and this we're going to take some time. So when's he going to attack Israel? I think it's going to be sometimes around the third or fourth year of the next administration. And I think when it happens, the last 1,335 days will start. And I believe that the seventh trumpet rapture will start somewhere around 45 days before the end of the tribulation period. I said about. But you see, you can't tell the exact date, week, month, or year. Leonard and Kenneth and I have looked at this for so long. We know it's here. Neither one of us knows the day. And it eats us alive. We see people wasting their lives. Because to us, this is not a... This is real. This is reality. And after the millennial reign, that's going to be real. And it's going to be spiritual. And we won't be walking around on terra firma. You say, what will we walk on? Same stuff angels walk on. So you're going to enjoy heaven so much, you'll never get tired of it. And you'll never get tired of working for him. And every once in a while, we'll probably get to see each other. And we'll say, what you been up to? And Leonard may say, well, I've been over here with these people here. And I'll say, I've been over there with these people. And we'll talk about it, and then we'll go our way. And for the first time, neither one of us will have a carnal nature, and you won't have one. And it's just going to be one big experience of joy. I mean, joy, 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 joy. No more, whoa, 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 whoa. No more, boom, 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 boom. There we are. And we'll look back on this, and I don't think we'll look back. I don't think we'll look back, and I don't think I'll look back and say, wonder where my brother Gary is. Because once you come to understand there and don't have your carnal nature, you'll understand. They'll take tears away. And so right now, that's why I'm so concerned about my brother. That's why I'm so concerned about people on this church roll. They need to get with this. You say, well, what do they need to do? They need to come to church regularly. Good heavens, if you can at least do that. And so that's why I concentrate on that all the time. I don't apologize for it. He says, behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. He shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week, between the third and fourth year after of the seven-year period that they're always talking about, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate. You know when that happened? When they crucified him. When he died on the cross, he told them, he forecast it. He said, behold, your house is left unto you desolate. Man, the Lord hadn't accepted a sacrifice from them for a long, long time. But he's going to bring a remnant through. And when it comes through, they're going to start those sacrifices again, but they will be memorial sacrifices. And they will be and Jesus will order them to build the temple, and they've already got a blueprint in there how to do it. And he established that before the foundation of the world. If you can't have trust in somebody like that, who can you ever trust? You say, well, how do you know that's true? Study, 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 study. It's a weariness to the flesh, but it's a joy to the soul. I don't mind studying now. If I go blind, I'll get me one of those cassettes got the Bible on there. If nobody's there to preach to, I'll preach to myself. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation. How long has the temple been desolate? It's spiritually desolate right now. That's talking about spiritually desolate. Even to the consummation. What's the consummation? The end of this age. That's the consummation of this age. I mean, look it up for yourself. Now, you ought to see, you want to see the last part of the tribulation period? You want to see what happens after the rapture? I love this. I don't love it happening to them, but I love it. That determined shall be poured upon the desolate. They're going to catch it. Now, how much plainer can you get? You see, it's plain if you understand it. But how can you understand this? God raised up Isaiah to write what he did and all of them. And he called the three of us to preach. And we study and we try. And we're not perfect, but we try. And so this is our joy. We want it to be the people's joy in the church. We want everybody in the church to realize how close this is. And we want everybody to realize to understand how carefully God planned this. Great balls of fire. I can't believe how stupid I was until I started studying and coming up here to pastor. Then I was on my own, just me and God. And Tud and Blanche. And we would stay out there and we would study the Bible. And Anna Mae was here. And we would sit and we would talk about the Bible. There was nine of us here when we first started. And we learned together. And I learned a lot from Tud and Blanche. And I learned a lot from all the people that were here. What few there were. But I thought, I got to study. Because, man, the more I study this Bible, the more confused I am. And by the time I started on that lecture tour, I knew enough to know that God had taken before the foundation of the world and settled everything. And I said, boy, that's marvelous. But since Leonard came up here and he's talked some things about the name of Christ, God did an even better job than I thought. And the truth of the matter is, he is doing a better job now than I thought when Leonard came up here. So the truth of the matter, he just gets better and better and better and better. But you don't know it until you try it. Now, the confirmer of the covenant. Isaiah 49, 5 through 8. Here we go. And now saith the Lord, this is the covenant of God with Israel, its confirmer, the announcer of the confirmer, its rejection, its completion, and the bringing in of it. He says, and now saith the Lord, that formed me from the womb to be his servant. I think God chose the three of us and you to be his servant. I think he called all men to be his servant. But I think, because it says that God indicates that it is not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But God went right ahead and gave them the choice and the chance. You talk about mercy. You talk about grace. He said to bring Jacob again to him. He's coming back. Though Israel be not gathered, he said, they're not gathered now. But he said, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. I wonder who that is. And he said, it is a delight thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. Well. You would almost think that there were three offices from the beginning of eternity after he formed time. You'd almost believe that God had planned to be the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And you'd also realize that God knew when Adam fell, he was going to be so stupid, he couldn't possibly figure it out for himself. And so we come along and we're Adam's descendants, And God says, I'm going to have to show those, he didn't say this, but ding-a-lings to understand this. And we'd never understood it if it hadn't been for him. I know that. It's true. That thou mayest be my salvation to the end of the earth. Who is it going to rule in the millennial reign? Jesus, to the end of the earth. Thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and the Holy One, to him whom man despiseth, and to him whom the nations abhorreth, to a servant of rulers. That thing that Leonard did the other night on the second chapter of Psalms, the second Psalm. And I've done that about four different times, four different ways, and all four of them are correct. But I really like that because it's the 89th Psalm, and that's my favorite Psalm in the Bible. And all these kings and everybody, look at what Putin, everybody's worried about Putin, everybody's worried about China, Fing Hang Yu. They were worried about all these people over there. They're worried about everything. I ain't worried about who's going to be our next president. I am not worried about anything. You say, well, Lord have mercy, how'd you get like that? This? He's real. He's absolutely real. And so whenever I get depressed because people don't come to the school and they're not here and they're not there, I'd like to see a house full here every time Leonard preaches. I'd like to see a house full every time Kenneth preaches. I'd like to see a house full every time I preach. They need it. And you say, well, you don't need it. Yes, we do. That's why we're so concerned about the people who don't think they need it. Oh, my. Anyway, he says, and kings shall see and arise, princes also shall worship, because of the Lord that is faithful and the Holy One of Israel. And he shall choose thee. Thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard thee. And Jesus quoted this one. And in a day of salvation have I helped thee. And I will preserve thee and give thee for a covenant of the people to establish the earth and to cause to inherit the desolate heritages. Man, when I don't listen, he's not going to get back here and snap his finger and say, bingo, and all of a sudden we got metropolises springing up everywhere and they're just automatically popping up out of the ground, and all of a sudden he says, now I'm king and look at how wonderful I've done. They're going to work. Those people who come through that thing, they're going to work their tails off. And they're going to build it. And the ones that are saved, they're going to teach those people, you better get it right while this is going on. And they're going to tell them. And they're going to find the same Lord we found. And we're going to teach them. I tell you, there's no greater joy than to be a teacher when you have a teacher that's perfect. And God's perfect. And I'm just really looking forward to it. And he says, okay, now, please keep this. I will run off some more, but I promised you I'd stop at 8:30. This is for you, Barbara. You need to get that woman under control, Robert. And so try to hold on to that and bring it back next Thursday. If you don't worry about it. I'll start right here next Thursday. I'll finish this, and then I'll get on to it in the manners and customs and all that kind of stuff, and we'll have a good time. Ken, you want to dismiss us?